The following episode may contain inappropriate material. Listener discretion is advised.
You're listening to the PVD Cast with John Orlando.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another installment of the PVD Cast. I am your humble host and your podcast purveyor, John Orlando, and welcome to episode number 447. I hope all is well with you out there, and thank you very much for checking out this edition of the PVD Cast. Well, I'm looking forward to next week, and you might ask why? Well, because it's the return of hockey season. That's right. The NHL season for 2024-2025 kicks off next week. I always look forward to the start of the season because there's a lot of intrigue among the changes that have happened over the summer. And certainly those changes are going to be discussed. And helping me to discuss all of the ins and outs of the offseason is, of course, my main man, hockey enthusiast extraordinaire, Mr. Luke Landry. Luke and I are going to sit down and talk all about what's going on with the NHL this season, from players changing teams to new rules to who's going to win the Stanley Cup. That's right. We'll give our prediction at the end of our conversation who we think has the best option or the best chance, I should say, at winning Lord Stanley's Cup. So you definitely want to sit around for that, ladies and gentlemen. Don't go anywhere. But before I get to the conversation that Luke and I are going to have, I need to thank once again a great sponsor of the PVD Cast, and of course, I'm talking about World's Greatest Comics. Now, they may not know much about hockey, I will freely admit that, but they do know a lot about comics. They've got some great stuff from the golden, silver, bronze, and modern era. They've got single issues, graphic novels, toys, comic book supplies, collectibles. They've got hundreds upon hundreds of back issues. If you need a few issues to maybe plug some holes in your collection, I guarantee you Jeff and the fine folks probably have them. So you owe it to yourself to stop by the store, especially if you're in Central Ohio. They're located at 5974 Westerville Road in Westerville, Ohio. And you can even check them out online. Their website is wgcomics.com, and they're very active on their Facebook page. Just search for at WG Comics. And heck, if you want to pick up the phone and call them, because you're old school, then the phone number is 614-891-3000. I couldn't have asked for a better sponsor than World's Greatest Comics, so I thank them a million times over every single time I read this copy. All right, with that being said then, ladies and gentlemen, let's get to it. I'm going to throw it to a quick break, and on the other side of the break, you're going to hear Luke Landry and I talk about the upcoming NHL season. Well, ladies and gentlemen, it is time to talk some hockey. And of course, joining me once again, the hockey enthusiast extraordinaire, Mr. Luke Landry. Luke, how are you this evening?
I'm good. How are you doing, man?
Doing great. I can't wait to talk to you about hockey. So much has gone on in the offseason. So many new things going on in terms of new players on new teams, new ownership, new rules, the whole nine yards. Can't wait to get into it. How things been for you?
Good. I mean, we had a nice summer. Didn't go out camping as much as I'd hoped for, but we had some nice time. We had some nice weather compared to last year too. So that was fun. Got to spend time with the kids, and it was cool. But slower than my winter, so that's always good.
Okay. Yeah, you were saying off air that you're a busy man now.
Yeah, well, my oldest son, I don't coach him anymore, but he's about to start his season, and but I think he has three. He plays in a school league, so their practices are early mornings before school, and he has three practices this week, And I'm still coaching my my younger son. And those are beginning of the season. It's like 2-3 practices a week. And I just looked at my calendar quick, and we're going to be playing about 19 of the 25 season games from now until Christmas. So schedule is just nuts.
It sounds like it. My goodness. That's a lot of hockey in a short amount of time. 19 games until December. Yep. Wow.
Yeah, that's you have to figure mid-November we have a tournament there too. So it's I don't remember it being that heavy for whatever reason. We don't have that many games in January and February. So I mean, we could work on the team for the playoffs, but it's just there's just no rest from now until December. It's crazy.
Well, let's go ahead and start talking about some topics that occurred before the season begins, which starts next week. And a heavy heart that we even probably have to talk about this, but of course, the biggest news story, I think, in the world of hockey, the death of Johnny and Matthew Gaudreau. And living here in Columbus, it really has rocked the foundation of the sporting world here in Columbus, Ohio. It was a story that to me just got worse with every news report. You know, it's bad enough that those two, Johnny and Matthew, were killed, but then you find out, or at least this was my experience. I found out a few hours later, well, the guy was intoxicated that hit them, and that's awful. And then you find out they're in town for a sister's wedding, which, my God, how could you even fathom to go on with a wedding, you know? And then you find out that both the wives are pregnant again, and it just sucked. That's the only thing I could say, is it just sucked. Like I said, I felt like it just got worse and worse and worse.
Yeah, it's one of those things where you put that in a movie and people would be like, yeah, it can't be, you know? It's just over and over. And the worst part for me is that it could have all been avoided.
Yes.
You know, yeah. I mean, bad shit happens. You get it. It happens, right? But it's just a stupid accident, and you know, the worst happened.
Also, it would suck if anybody got caught up in that. But it the extra, like, I guess you could say, bad news about it is Gaudreau's the best player on the team. You know, and that's now going to impact how that team plays. And I'm going to be honest with you. I just read that. In fact, I just read it today, that the CBJ is not having to be compliant with the salary cap floor for this season. They got a special waiver for that. But to be honest, Luke, I don't see or read anything that the Jackets are making any moves. They have some money, and now I've heard a couple different numbers, but they have some money towards the cap. And not saying that they go out and replace, because you're never going to replace somebody like Gaudreau, but they're not making any steps, I think, to really solidify that roster.
Yeah. You know, one of the things I was wondering at a certain point, I mean, it happened just a couple of weeks before training camp opens. So, you know, how do you realign, right?
Right.
I mean, how do you, and they just underwent management changes as well. So how do you take all of that and, like, whatever you thought you could do while you, like you said, I mean, you just lost your best player. You got trade routes, maybe you got, but I don't know, man. I mean, they have to take some. They have to take a while. They have. So I get it, but yeah, it's again. I mean, just a couple of weeks before the whole thing, and it's nuts. It's just nuts.
And you know what? You brought up something that I kind of overlooked. You're right. New general manager, new coach. You know, there was a lot of momentum going in. You know, Moynihan comes back. They thought that they had the dream team back together. But I think that as hard as it's going to be, and I know coming from me, I'm just a hockey fan, an armchair, you know, defenseman, if you want to call it that, or whatever the equivalent would be as an armchair quarterback. you know, You got to try to galvanize the team around this. This should be a rallying cry. Let's do this for Johnny and Matthew. And you know, I hope that's the case. But this lack of not really trying to fill some holes on that roster leaves me with some big questions for the Jackets in this season.
Yeah, and it's one of those situations, too, where last I read, they were going to keep his locker for the season. I sort of get it, but at the same time, you're like, you know, a tribute, I guess, is nice. But at the same time, players, every time they're going to step in the dressing room, they're going to be reminded of it, mm-hmm. which is, I get, pay your respects, but it's, you don't want it either to become a distraction eventually, because whatever happens in your life, as bad as it is, eventually you have to move on, right? You have to mm-hmm. go to the next mm-hmm. step. You know, it's not about forgetting the guy or anything like that, but you do have to try to make it to the next step. So maybe, you know, maybe you'll see after the season starts, and once they, I don't know if they did anything for the preseason, but I'm guessing that first home game, it's going to be a tough one.
They did do several tributes the weekend that happened. Ohio State football had a moment of silence. The Columbus Crew and MLS had a moment of silence. Their first home game that was preseason, there was a moment of silence, and they plan on having a bigger celebration of life when they, I think they begin the 10th or the 11th is their first home game, I believe.
Okay.
So it yeah, they do have plans for that. So
yeah, so I'm thinking maybe once you pass that, give it a couple of weeks, and even sometimes, I mean, there's been so many injured players in the preseason this year. I mean, Doughty, Liney, you got to figure the market's probably going to open up maybe a bit quicker than it usually does. So maybe they can jump on that occasion. But yeah, no, I agree with you. There hasn't been much, but at the same time, I sort of understand the idea where you're like, yeah, we want to do something here, but it's delicate. It's a very mm-hmm. delicate situation.
Well, let's talk about a situation that kind of spawns off of the Columbus Blue Jackets, was that they did move Patrick Laine this summer. Mm-hmm. They moved him to your beloved Canadiens. So what's your thoughts as a Montreal Canadiens fan? What's your thought about getting Patrick Laine?
Oh, right now, all I can say is I don't have to worry about that for another 2 to 3 months. So, yeah, he got caught knee on knee, not the last game, but the game on Saturday. So he's out for 2 to 3 months. But, I mean, once he stepped on the ice, you heard the crowd cheering. And with all the stories that he's had over the last couple of years, both injuries and personal and everything, and the idea that, okay, I'm here and I can restart, I felt like people really embraced it. And I think right now the team in their reconstruction process, they're still at a point where they can take those types of chances, right? Because, mm-hmm. I mean, you do get Liney. If you do get a good Liney, you're looking at 40 goals easy per year, right? Thing is, we haven't seen that player in a while because of injuries and all of that. So it's a gamble because he is taking a huge chunk out of your salary cap. Right. I mean, they traded Harris and I think it was a second round pick or something like that. So they kept the entire salary. So that's a huge bump in there. But they're still in a process where they can take a chance like that. It worked out with it seems to be working out okay with Doc, again, if he stays healthy. And it worked with Monahan last year really good. I mean, they were able to trade him to the Jets for a decent amount. And he just became the player he was when he started in Calgary. So, you know, if you can have that process and you can benefit and have the kids benefit from it, you know, if you take a look at players like Caulfield, he's a shooter. Liney's a shooter, mm-hmm. right? And you have Marty St. Louis behind the bench, who's also a shooting player, a playmaker too, but also a shooter. So you have all of these different levels. And I mean, that can only help the kids eventually. So it's a positive, but again, I mean, he got hurt on Saturday, and the NHL proved that they're very good at pissing off everybody when they make decisions. So we don't have to worry about it for a while.
Well, you know what? Saturday's game, was that against Toronto?
Yep.
Okay, I watched part of that game.
Yeah.
I actually watched part of that game, and in fact, I wrote down as a note, I wanted to get your thoughts on the goaltender, Jakub, is it Dobez? Or Dobesh,
I think they say
Dobesh.
Yeah,
because he seemed like he was pretty. He seemed like he was pretty solid in that. And given the fact that there's still been some question marks with Montreal's goaltending, I just wondered what do you think about his possibility of being involved in that mix with Primo and Sam? What's his last
name? Montembeau.
Thank you. Yeah. I couldn't remember his last name. But what are your thoughts on the goaltending situation?
He's done well. I'm not sure it'll be enough to bump Primo or even Montembeau. And the problem that comes along with it is that if you're bumping either player, then you either have to revert to what you were doing last year with Jake Allen, which is a threesome in front of the net. Not the ideal situation. I think Primo last year sort of benefited from that, but definitely not Allen. Allen didn't benefit from having two buddies in front of the crease. So either you go that way or you take a chance on losing Primo or Montembeau to waivers, which I don't think they want to do. So I'm thinking that probably if he does well in the American Hockey League, they're probably going to eventually make him a spot. And I'm thinking if they're going to trade anybody, it's probably going to be Primo, because he can be good, but consistency isn't in his favor. So that probably is what could happen, because I agree. He's been doing very well, and he's a big guy. He seems to move fairly well. So yeah, maybe that's the next, guy.
Well, talking about goaltenders, let's talk about one that's, I don't know, he's just got a mess of a situation on his hands, and that is Jeremy Swayman. What the hell?
You're going there, yeah.
Yeah, like, what the hell is going on in Boston? Like, I'm perplexed by, number one, let's go ahead and get rid of Ullmark before we have Swayman sign. What the hell are you doing? Why would you do that?
I thought, honestly, once they announced that Ullmark had been traded, I thought for sure within the week we were going to hear, here's Swayman's contract.
Yeah,
I mean, it again, it doesn't make sense to I think we chatted about this a bit during the summer about RFAs and how teams wait so long and all of this.
Yeah.
It's one of those situations where, well, you just decided that he's the guy. That's what you did, right? Because his buddy, I mean, you know, maybe not as good, but pretty good too. So you're splitting up a tandem that's helped you out a lot over the last 2 years. So you've made a choice. Well, I mean, you got to back it up. It seems like they made the moves before and now they're stuck. And I don't know if on Swayman's side, they're using it as leverage for the negotiations, but... I don't know. I mean, if it's part of the plan on part of the Boston Bruins, it's one of those things where it's so dumb that it's brilliant. I'm just not sure about the brilliant part. You know, it's just weird. And to start the season and, you know, as they go along, I mean, there's a bigger and bigger question mark. Over the last 2 years, they did a lot better than most people thought they were going to do. Right. So that means your team is heading in the bad, in the wrong direction, which happens once you've been at the top for so long. I mean, it happens, but here's the guy of the future. This is what you're doing. You know, if you piss him off enough, he's going to come back and sign for 2 years, you know, or if he does sign for 8 years and he's going to ask to get traded in within a season or two, you just, I didn't get that at all. If you're pissed off about it, vent in private, fix it with the agents or whatever. But I mean, telling everybody I've got 64 million reasons why to, listen, I get that you're pissed off, but man, I mean, don't try to turn the fans against him. If he's your next guy, why would you want to piss off your fan base against your next guy? You know, it just, there's so many things that don't make sense in that.
And I mean, I'm also going to say, you know, Swayman wants $10 million. That's a lot of money. And I don't know. Granted, he's been fantastic. Many, many hockey experts say, well, he hasn't led them to a Stanley Cup. Well, yeah, but there's a lot of great players that haven't led their teams to Stanley Cup. So I don't think that's a fair comparison, but still, $10 million is a lot of money, Swayman. And, you know,
a lot of money for a guy who hasn't played that many games.
Right. Because of the,
that's the other thing. And you've been good, but I mean, we're not talking about you played like, I don't know, 50, 60 plus games, two straight seasons. He might've played about 60 in two seasons. So, you know, the span in which you can look at it, you've been great, but are you really like number one material? And he's proven that he can be even better in the playoffs. But again, I mean, how far can it go? I mean, a round or two. Okay. So is it really because you're missing firepower up front? Is it the defensive thing? You know, I mean, it's, I don't know. And yeah, I get the cap is coming up too, but it's a tough one to, what I've noticed though, over the last couple of years you used to have these like bridge contracts.
Yes.
So you get your first contract, which is like 3 years. And then typically they'd sign players like 2 or 3 year contracts. And then they just, you know, go to the bank on the next one. And those contracts have either gotten shorter or have just not happened. So maybe that's also what they're trying to bank on, is that we're going to skip that small contract. We're going to go straight to the big one that he'll have until the end of his career. But again, I mean, he haven't played all that much. It's fun to watch, especially if it's not your team. But man, seriously. Well,
they're going to be stuck with Corpusalo. That's basically it. They're going to be stuck with Corpusalo. And until something happens, either, you know, Swayman is gone, or they come to some type of agreement and he's on the team, you know. Yeah,
mind you, in Toronto a few years ago, they had a similar situation with Nylander. They didn't go out public like Boston just did. But if I remember correctly, I mean, the first month or month and a half, Nylander didn't play because he didn't have a contract. He could have. Right. But he didn't play because he hadn't signed the new contract. And honestly, in his case, things have worked out pretty good. So it doesn't mean that because it's bad now, it's going to stay bad. But it's just from negotiation point of view. And again, I mean, what are you trying to prove to the fan base? And I don't think they thought it through, honestly.
They haven't. And one thing that I read today was that there is a possible suitor for Mr. Swayman if he would leave the Bruins. And that suitor would be the Chicago Blackhawks, which I got to be honest with you, Luke. I think this year the Blackhawks are going to the playoffs. I think they have rebuilt very, very well around Connor Bedard. And I mean, adding a lot of veteran players. Tara Vianen came back. Pat Maroon. They got the goaltender Laurent Brossoit.
Yeah.
They got him. They've added a lot of people. Bertuzzi. How could I forget Bertuzzi? Bertuzzi there. They've drafted the Russian guy, I think it's pronounced Leshevnov or whatever his name is, on defense. They got him. I really think with Nick Foligno as being a captain as well, he was a very good captain in Columbus. I think all signs point that the Blackhawks are going to the playoffs this year.
Yeah, the only concern that I have with a team that loads up on veterans, that also means that you're not very deep. So if everybody stays healthy, I agree. I mean, they can make a huge run. And if you got a guy like Foligno heading your team, I mean, that guy won't stop. He just won't quit. And he's not exactly known for his finesse or anything like that. He works his ass off. So I agree. I mean, there's a chance. But you know, when you're adding so many veterans, you lose a couple during the season. That means, you know, you got to get some younger players in there. Maybe you're not as deep as you thought you were. Mm-hmm. But, you know, we're talking about Swayman, and he's an RFA, if I'm not mistaken, right?
That is correct. That's
so
correct.
He's free game to a certain extent, right? So, yeah. I mean, if I were Chicago Blackhawks, he'd be an example. San Jose Sharks. If I'm one of those teams that is now rebuilding, that has gotten a couple of nice picks and over the last few years, my salary cap is way low right now, right? My salary and mass salary is real low right now. I'm almost at the floor. I can afford this guy. I can take a chance on it. You want $10 million? I'm going to give you $10 million for 8 years right now. Now, it's up to Boston to match it, right? But there are teams that could actually be a threat to Boston on this deal, and I think Chicago could be one of them. All right, we're really going to make a go at this. We're going to go get that guy.
Mm-hmm.
We're locked in. We're getting that guy. And again, I mean, San Jose would be a perfect spot for him. Up and coming team. There you go, buddy. I mean, you're not going to win the cup in the next few years. I get it. But you're going to get all the ice time you want. You're our top guy.
Yeah, absolutely. He makes sense for many teams. I mean, I thought when you were talking, I was thinking Anaheim would also be a great fit.
Yeah. Yeah,
for him, they're rebuilding. They got some of the pieces to the puzzle already locked in. Absolutely. So, I mean, it's just going to be very, very interesting to see what indeed happens in Chicago. But my one of my big predictions: Chicago makes it to the playoffs if everybody stays healthy. And we'll go ahead and I'll jump on my other, which I can't believe I have to say this, but I think the Capitals are going to win the Metropolitan.
The Capitals?
I think so. I mean,
now they're going to have to do better than they did in the first round. That's for sure. I mean, that was pathetic.
That is, but look, they got Dubois. They picked up Dubois, Mangiapane. They got Duhaime.
Is Dubois going to be happy? If he's happy, they're fine. If he's not happy, you know,
that's right.
You know, you got him in Columbus. You know how it is. That is one thing. Every time he's sort of on the block, because he's a Quebecer, I mean, the Habs are in the mix. And I think, honestly, when he was in Columbus, Marc Bergevin really wanted to have him, and that's probably why he ended up in L.A., because Bergevin is now in L.A. But, you know, he's always there. And the first time you kind of go like, okay, maybe things are really not good where he's at. Okay. Then he moves to Winnipeg. Well, okay, well, now he's going 2-for-2 in places where he's not really – he doesn't really like. And then he's 3-for-3 with L.A. So you kind of go like, you know what? Maybe the teams aren't the problem.
Mm-hmm.
When you have a young player like that and he just can't seem to fit anywhere, you kind of go like, he's going to have to be really fucking good because nobody's going to want him. You know, those are the types of things where you're like, I like when a player knows where he's going, right? So a few years back, Max Pacioretty, when he was just barely starting in the NHL, he said that he preferred to go back to farm team was in Hamilton back then. He preferred to go back to Hamilton to play on the top six because he said, I've always been a top six guy. That's where I'm going to play. That's where I'm going to be most helpful for my team. So instead of staying in the NHL on the fourth line, I'd rather go and play. You know, so it's a ballsy thing to say, but he was right. I mean, he's a shooter. He belongs in the top six. Well, at that point, belonged in the top six. So it is a ballsy thing to say because a lot of people would be like, fuck, I just want to play in the NHL and I'm going to be happy, mm-hmm. right? You see these things, you kind of go like, okay, I get it. Oh, okay. So first time, okay, maybe he's not okay in Columbus. Okay, well, okay, I get Winnipeg. I mean, it's in the middle of nowhere. Okay, sure. But I mean, at the same time, they have a gritty team. It's the type of team that maybe doesn't show off that much, but they've been pretty consistent since they've been in Winnipeg. So I think, you know, as a player, that would be a very good thing for me. Oh, we'll see how Dubois goes, but I don't. He's not exactly in the top players, and I don't think it's just because of John Tortorella.
Well, I also think with Washington, I think that they got Logan Thompson, and I think if Logan Thompson plays the way he played a few years ago for Vegas, I think that they're going to be a real threat. And I hate saying it, by the way. I hate it, but I don't like to give the Capitals or the Flyers any credit whatsoever, but I guess I gotta do it. I guess I gotta give them the props of maybe coming out of the Metro.
We'll see if they're able to push Ovechkin. I mean, he's like 42 goals away from tying Gretzky. So I mean that's a fun thing to hopefully see. I don't think he'll make it to 42 this year. He could, but you know, maybe over the course of the next 2 years. But it's just that would be a fun race. Maybe they're trying to build at least around that to sell some tickets and have a story, you know.
Well, the rumor that I heard, I have a friend that lives in D.C., the owner wants a new arena.
Oh.
And the new arena is not downtown. It is out in the suburbs of Maryland. I'm like, that sounds terrible.
Yeah, let's see how it worked out in Ottawa.
Yeah, I mean, it just, yeah, I was like, I don't know about this. And I know there's been some people go, well, they used to play in Landover, Maryland. Yeah, they used to, but that was 40 years ago. They haven't played. They've been downtown Washington, D.C. for what? The last 20 years, ever since Ovechkin got here. So, yeah, I don't know. It's
If I take Montreal as an example, one of the main reasons that is always brought up on why the Montreal Expos left Montreal is because the Olympic Stadium isn't downtown. Mm-hmm. It's not that far away. You do have to take a certain subway ride to get there, right? But it's still on the island of Montreal. We're not saying like, oh, you're like on the North Shore, on the South Shore. You're still on the island of Montreal, and apparently that was but it was far enough that it was a reason that not enough people were going. If you're talking about if you're not a non-traditional market, but if you're not the ultimate sports team in your area, you're going to have a hard time if you're not downtown where everything's happening. Mm-hmm. So it's I mean, they can do whatever they want, but it's a gutsy move to try to do that.
And
yeah,
if your team's going in the wrong direction, it's not a good idea.
Yeah, like when he mentioned that to me, and he just mentioned that to me this past summer, and I'm like, oh man, that doesn't sound good. I mean, you better have all your ducks in a row and be able to, because all I kept thinking about is what my friend in Atlanta said, is that State Route 400, if they're going to put a team out in the outskirts of Atlanta, that becomes gridlock every afternoon between 3 and 6 p.m.
And you've already failed twice in Atlanta. So if you're going to do it, you got to do it right. Exactly. you have no leeway here. You failed twice. Yeah. I don't get it. Ottawa was sort of the same thing. I think they fixed it up a bit, but they're outside of Ottawa in Canada. And when they built it, there was nothing there. Now they've built like a bit of a mall around it and stuff like that. But it's still, I mean, you can barely get to it and you can barely get out. It's like one or two exits to go in and to go out. So it's a hard place you get free tickets. Do I really want to have to go that? And then it's going to take me an hour to get out. And then it's that type of thing. There's only one way and it's the highway, and you don't have like a whole bunch of, I mean, there's a lot of parking space that I'm going to give them, but it's just, you're in the middle of nowhere and you're in a hockey country, you know, and it hurt a lot when they did that, because they didn't have a very competitive team when they did it. And it hurt a lot. And they were wondering, is the team, you know, if they sell them, are they going to move out? I think twice about it and make sure your fan base is willing to make that trip, and make sure that the companies that are paying the big boxes up there are willing to follow you as well. Because again, I mean, it's easy. I just finished work. I go downtown, you know, maybe a 5-10 minute Uber drive. I'm at the rink. I go in, I'm in the box. Easy.
Mm-hmm.
Now I have to go out town. I don't know. I just look at what happened. It doesn't work out well. Don't do it. You know, don't think that you're the magic market that is going to, it doesn't work.
The magic market.
Yeah. Again, I go back to this idea where like, it's so dumb that it's brilliant. Maybe it's just dumb, you know, maybe it just doesn't work. It's like hammering Arizona. And again, they're going to come back. Dude, you're being kicked out of the cities. It's not even that you can't fill the buildings. Cities are just fucking kicking you out. I mean, take the hint. It's not going to work. And it sucks for the people who like hockey over there, but it's just not going to work. So try elsewhere, you know?
Well, let's talk about Utah since we're talking about the Coyotes. What do you think the expectations are for Utah? Do you think that they obviously want to be competitive? What do you think the expectations are? Do you think they can make the playoffs? Can they go deep in the playoffs?
I'm trying to remember who they got, but I remember they did quite a few moves early on in the summer. So, I mean, I think the message is that we want to be competitive, but they didn't make big moves from what I recall.
Right. So, Sergachev, I think, was their big one. And then John Marino was another one.
Oh, yeah. That's the one I was trying to find. Yeah. So, you know, a couple of decent moves. So we're trying to be more competitive. We're going to probably aim to try to make the playoffs. But I think at the same time, it's just like we're trying to figure out what's going on around it. And once everything's settled and if things are going okay, they're probably going to make the big move. But I think the message was sent that we're at least going to try to do better than what they were doing in Arizona. Try to give you a good show, and then we'll see. But I'd have to check. I mean, because they lost a bunch of draft picks because of the previous GM. I forgot what he did. Anyways, he did something and the NHL punished them and took away a bunch of their draft picks. So even prospect wise, they're not all that set as they should be. So I think it's, yeah, they're definitely going to be more competitive than the Coyotes were in the last few years. But I don't think they're going to be trying to sell the dream of the Stanley Cup just now.
And they're going to have a lot of fanfare. I mean, it seems that Utah, Salt Lake City is ready for this. They can't wait. There's a groundswell of support. I mean, I think for me personally, the only thing I think that they're going to be competitive. I think they've made enough moves that they might make the playoffs. I think they might. I don't think they go far other than the first round. I hope they get a team name too, because I'm not calling them the Utah Hockey Club. You can just forget that shit. That is not happening. Come up with a name.
Yeah, but at the same time, I mean, the women's professional league just got names for their teams, and you kind of go like, really? I mean, you know what? The city and state names wasn't that bad after all. You know, it's just some of them you kind of go like, that's the best you could do. So yeah, we'll see. But it's I mean, how far off are they? Are they planning on playing in their main building next year? You remember? Because I know that they're not playing at where they're officially going to play eventually.
Yeah, they're playing in the Delta Center, which is where the Utah Jazz plays, the NBA franchise. And I think that I read somewhere that can fit capacity-wise like 15,000, I think, okay. 16,000, somewhere around there. But they are – yeah, they're right. They are moving to the new building either next year or might be the second. I think it might be 2 years from now that they may have to be at the Delta Center. But
I'm going to interrupt my conversation with Luke for just one moment to talk to you about World's Greatest Comics. They are your one-stop shop for all your comic book-related needs. They've got single issues, collections, graphic novels, toys, collectibles, a large back catalog. You name it, they got it. So stop by the store. They're located at 5974 Westerville Road in Westerville, Ohio. Or check them out online. WGComics.com is the web address. And they're pretty active on the Facebook page. Just look for at WGComics.
Well, shall we talk about the Toronto Maple Leafs? seems that they have added to their defensive core. So see, you, Luke, always complain that they don't do anything different with their defensive core. They went out and got Yanni Hakanpaa and Chris Tanev. That's got to be an upgrade, right?
I mean, it is on what they add on, like TJ Brody. But again, they need to have a top defenseman. And, I mean, a top overall guy. I mean, the guy that can both care, you know, quarterback your power play. You can have him 28 minutes on the ice. You get and I mean, I love Tanev. Seriously, one of my favorite defensemen, but he's defensive defenseman. He's a number four type guy, maybe number five, you know. So they're better off than they were last year. But, I mean, is it enough to actually start pushing further in the playoffs when everything gets harder and rougher? And so it's still, I mean, from the defensive perspective, I think they're still lacking, you know, a certain vision that it's a bit better. And they didn't do anything in goal. You know, I mean, they still.
My next note is they still have Matt Murray.
Exactly. So maybe, you know, maybe you'll have Matt Murray that was there early on in his career. It's starting to be a while, but, you know, maybe. But like I said, for the Montreal Canadiens, you know, you're still rebuilding. So you can take a chance on a guy like Patrick Laine to try to help him get back and to try to, it makes sense for a team like Toronto. That's been where it's been for the last few years. If you already have a number one goalie, I get that you could take a chance on somebody like Murray, but you don't. And you keep on taking chances on goaltenders. You're not at a point in your build right now where you can do that, especially not in an important position. You might do that for a number five, number six defenseman. Okay, fine. You know, like they did with Giordano. But eventually, I mean, you got to get a real number one in there. They can't afford it. And Marner's on his last year of his contract. So he's going to get, if they keep him, he's going to get paid even more next year. You know, Matthews is getting paid the big bucks. Nylander's coming up. Tavares is almost done. But still, I mean, you don't have any maneuver to go get that big goaltender. You don't have that money to go get that that big defenseman. So are they better off? Yeah. But I don't know. It's at least they did a bit of something, which wasn't the same thing they've been doing over the last few years.
Well, I mean, they're going to rely on David Wall, I think, as their goaltender. And I've not been impressed with his play. From what little bit I've seen him play a few games. He doesn't seem like he's comfortable in that system of play. Like
he was great in his rookie year. He did some good work, but yeah, no, I agree. I mean, he's an all right goaltender, but right now where your team is and is wanting to head and should head, because that, I mean, the infamous window of opportunity, it's closing. Mm-hmm. I mean, you're not going to be, able to move anything. You're not going to be, it's done. Guys are either going to sign elsewhere or want to get traded, or, I mean, it's coming. You're already stuck. You've been stuck for a whole bunch of years, and they just don't want to make the moves. I honestly thought, we might've talked about this, I honestly thought they were going to trade Mitch Marner a few years ago for, what's his name? He played in Columbus. He's in Chicago now.
Seth Jones.
Yeah, Seth Jones. I thought, because that would have been the perfect fit. He brings everything they need. He'll bring some grit. He'll bring some defense. He can help on offense. You know, I mean, the guy can almost captain your team, right? I mean, that, and at that point, almost a one-for-one trade would have worked. Mm-hmm. I for sure, when they were talking about Seth Jones getting out of Columbus, my first thought was like, oh, crap, Toronto's going to go get him, and now we're screwed. Yeah, Toronto's actually going to be good. And they didn't. They didn't want to take that chance. You get to a certain point where you have to give if you want to get something in return. And offensively, you're doing very well. Defensively, you need some help. He would have been a perfect fit for that. Mm-hmm. They didn't want to make the move. So they're still stuck in that sort of cycle. And again, I mean, I like Tanev, but it's not what they need. If they are actually able, say trade deadline, if they're actually able to go get an actual number one and number two defenseman, then guys like Tanev are going to be real useful for the long run. But until you really like set up that spot, it's going to be hard.
You don't think Morgan Riley's a number one or number two defenseman?
He could be a decent number two, maybe number three.
Okay.
But
okay.
I mean, every game he'll do one of these big ass mistakes defensively. We're like, you've played so many games. How are you still doing that? You know, was it Connor McDavid that just like toe dragged him like he was a freaking peewee player? You know, you're like, you're supposed to be one of the best defensemen apparently in the league, and you're getting played around. And that kind of thing happens a lot. I mean, when he cross-checked a guy in the head last year.
Oh yeah.
Right. I mean, the reason why he was mad, the reason why he got murdered right there. He shouldn't. Right. So he's a lot more offensive than defensive, which is okay. You need those players. But as long as you don't actually have that like defensive captain, it's going to be hard. It's going to be hard to push through. So we'll see. I mean, they might surprise, but I mean, there's just so many holes, and the bottom six is still rough, and obviously, I mean, they can't afford to have a better bottom six. So it's a bit better, but I guess it was to quiet down the people in Toronto.
Well, you know what? Speaking of bottom six and questions about them, let's talk about my Pittsburgh Penguins. This was a very lackluster offseason, picking up people like Cody Glass, Anthony Beauvillier, Kevin Hayes, Blake Lizotte, Sebastian Aho, the defenseman.
Not the forward, the other one.
The other one. Just, again, as a Pens fan, this bottom six is not going to get it done. Even when you roll in the Noel Achari, and you roll in Lars Eller, and you roll in some of these other guys that you already have on the team, it's going to be top heavy, that teams are going to focus on shutting down Crosby and Malkin's line. And then that's it. We're screwed because we have no other threats on that third and fourth line. Defense looks pretty decent. Goaltending is still a big question as well. You know, the hot prospect, he hasn't looked real good in preseason. So we're still stuck with
preseason.
Yeah, we're stuck with Tristan Jarry for right now, and I don't know. He's been so inconsistent. I'm not sure that I have a lot of faith in him. So I think it's going to be a rough season for Pens fans.
Yeah, I'm curious to see, though, because they did re-sign Crosby. So you'd think that somewhere, maybe not this year, but near the end of the year, maybe gearing up for at least next year or the next one to really try to go all in. Mm-hmm. You know, whatever it takes, we're going to go and try to get Sid another Stanley Cup.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe. But, you know, I agree. It's funny because sometimes you hear him say, like, oh, it's so hard to make trades. And then you see, like, Weber against Subban. Well, if it worked, I mean, nobody thought Dubois was going to be getting out of L.A. with the contract that he signed.
Mm-hmm.
Right? But it happened. They were able to get him out and not, you know, so
sometimes you wonder, it's like, is it just you're not offering anything interesting? Do you have anything interesting to offer? Are you willing to go that distance? Because if where the Pens are right now, if you want to make a run at it, it is going to cost you.
Mm-hmm.
Are you willing to do that and try to go the long run with Crosby and Malkin and Letang? And you want to do that? Or are you just going to say, sorry, guys, we're going to ride this one out, and, you know, we're thinking after you guys?
But there's not been any clear indication that we're thinking for the future. I will say that right now.
Yeah.
Kyle Dubas has not been giving any inkling to the future, which is another concern for Pens fans, because look, you're never going to replace those three. You never are. But there's got to be a plan of action so that we can draft somebody and bring them along slowly, and then have that. And unless we get dumb luck again and get, for the third time in the row, of multi-generational talent, which is not going to happen. You know, damn lucky to get Mario, super damn lucky to get Sid right after him. We're not going to get that a third time.
Jagr, don't forget Jagr.
Oh yeah, well yeah,
yeah. No, I mean, yeah, no, no. I mean, you guys, from a Habs point of view, you guys have been fucking blessed. Man, it's just, we're trying to make things work and nothing works out, and we're looking at, come on, seriously. But
All right.
We'll see. I mean, one thing I've found kind of interesting with Dubas is exactly that he hasn't. I thought he'd be making more moves, you know, with the sort of the message that he sent out that, oh, I don't have my shackles anymore, you know, in Toronto I couldn't do anything. Now I'm both the GM and the boss's GM. You know. Yeah. I can do pretty much whatever I want. And yeah, to your point, exactly. They haven't done that much. So, you know, maybe something big's coming up again. Maybe they were worried with Crosby's contract situation.
Yeah. You know what?
Is he going to be one of those players? I'm going to go, you know, trade me to whatever team that has a chance of winning the cup. I want to win the cup one last time. Was it going to be that? Or no, I want to finish my career here.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe that was a question mark. And so maybe they'll start to do something. But I agree. I mean, a lot of things we're looking forward to, we're going to change things around here, and pretty much status quo.
Yeah. And like, all these signees are great secondary role players, but that's not mm-hmm. what we need. We don't nope. the Pens do not need that. They need depth and scoring is what needs to happen. So, you know, again, maybe Anthony Beauvillier, as I'm thinking about, he had a hell of a season a few years ago. Maybe he can rekindle that. Let's move on here to our last team that I'd like to highlight real quick, and then we'll talk about Stanley Cup predictions. Let's talk about those Edmonton Oilers.
Oh, boy. Talk about doing stuff that you shouldn't be doing. You thought it was bad enough last year when we didn't know what happened, but Corey Perry gets kicked out of Chicago. And the way that it happened, you sort of think that it must have been bad enough. Or maybe with Chicago's situation, with everything that happened back with Stan Bowman, mm-hmm. You know, maybe it had something to do with that, and they just didn't want to take any chances. But you're it's not quite sure, but you're picking up a player that clearly something happened, something bad enough happened that even the Players Association said it was okay to terminate his contract, which
right.
you never see. Right. Yeah. So I'm thinking it's got to be bad enough. Don't want to speculate on it, but it's got to be bad enough for even the Player Association to go like, yeah, it's okay, cancel his contract. So that was already a weird one. But the instant that the ban is lifted on Stan Bowman, you go and get him.
Yeah.
I mean, that guy shouldn't be working in the NHL anymore. Mm-mm. You know, after everything that went down, he banned or not, nobody should fucking hire him, period. And you go and do that, and you go and do that to a team that just went to the finals. Right. To a team mm-hmm. that I don't think many people thought that they'd make it that far, but they did. So things are looking up because you're still adding to your team. But right now, you're adding distractions more than anything else. I mean,
yeah,
congrats. You got Draisaitl signed, which is good. But, you know, you're really just adding distraction to the team. And it's not, the team doesn't need that at all right now. Not at all. I mean, they're focused on going back to the finals. They're focused on finishing it off for real. And you're just bringing all of this bullshit back. Not that I want to plug another podcast here, but I was listening to the Steve Dangle podcast from out in Toronto. And
the I forgot how they got on the subject, but they asked themselves, like, we've been doing this podcast since 2009, 2010, something like, almost 15 years. And they wondered how many head coaches, different head coaches, had coached in the NHL over the span of like 15 years. Total was like 54 or 55 different head coaches. So it's always the same people coming back. So you got to figure GMs, it's the same thing. You know, you see a guy like ruin a team like Hextall did. Why is he getting another chance in Pittsburgh? Rutherford was the same thing. I get that Rutherford had, you know, good stuff in the past, but, you know, his last years weren't very good. Why are you hiring him again?
Mm-hmm.
You know, try something else. So it's just, it's a big club. It's a whole bunch of buddies. So obviously, once you leave the band, Stan Bowman is going to go somewhere. I honestly didn't think it would be a team like the Edmonton Oilers. Probably a team that has a lot less press going around, but that to me is the thing. And again, what sucks, we're not talking about McDavid. We're not talking about Draisaitl. We're not talking about the fact that Kane's going to be out for a fairly lengthy period of time. We're not talking about their goaltending. We're talking about their GM that, you know, he shouldn't be there anymore. So it's that.
No, real quickly, though, and I'm not sure. I don't remember. So Stan Bowman was one of three, correct, that were involved.
He was the GM.
He was the GM that covered things up, right, that knew about things. So, but the other two are still they're banned from the NHL, correct?
I can't remember if the coach is still banned.
Okay.
I can't remember if Joel Quenneville is still banned. But I think they were going to maybe lift it. Okay. I don't remember because they were talking about that, and then Lindy Ruff also got a job, and a whole bunch of things like sort of happened while they were talking about it.
Okay.
So, you know, it's kind of like getting traded on the day that a bigger trade happens and nobody remembers that you got traded. So, excuse me. But yeah, he was not only was, I mean, even if he's the guy or not that made the decision, you're still managing the team and you knew about it. You know, that to me is the problem where you should have went right away. No, get this guy out. Get him out. It's not going to end well.
Right.
Right. So, and I think that probably, and you probably could have just killed it internally during the playoffs, not talk about it. Nobody realizes that the guy is gone. And then when everything ends, then, okay, yeah, we have to fire this guy and, you know, we're sorry. And probably at that point, you wouldn't have had to explain as much as afterwards, you know, that bad things happen, we have to let him go and that's it. But instead you just bury it, you don't tell anybody, he goes on, does it again, you know, at a college and everything. So that to me is just, if you do that in like any other field, you're done. Doesn't matter. Yeah. It doesn't matter if it's accounting, doesn't matter, it's a factory, doesn't matter, whatever, wherever you are, it's done. You're over. You can still work. I get it. You know, it's not like a death sentence, but you're gonna be working in something else. You can't go in and work in the same field that you were working in. Everybody's going to know.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not an issue in the NHL. You know, we lift the ban and just a couple of weeks after, not even, poof, there you go, job. Not only a job, you get to GM a team that is running for the fucking Stanley Cup, you know?
Yeah.
At home going like, really?
And it's just going to overshadow the good things that have happened with that team. I mean, I think picking up Victor Arvidsson is a great get for the Oilers. Jeff Skinner, I mean, he's still got a little few miles left to go in the tank. Let's get him, get going. They are doing what I would hope the Pens would do. Get some players that can really score on those, you know, third and fourth lines. But all of that's going to be overshadowed by, and you know, not saying that this will happen, but one of the players does something stupid, you know, gets a DUI or does something, and then it's going to come back. Stan Bowman's allowing this he did back in Chicago. Like, it's something that's constantly going to be perpetually connected to you. And so every time there's some obstacle, every time there's a mistake made by a player or by a coaching staff or something, it's going to be brought back up. So
And you have sort of a liability there because Kane has been under fire for gambling and stuff like that.
Oh, yeah.
They've never went all the way through like they did with Shane Pinto. So it's never been as clear. And even Pinto, apparently it ends up that he had most of nothing to do with it, but they still suspended him for like 41 games or whatever, half the year last year.
Mm-hmm.
But you have a guy
that hopefully he fixed everything, but he has a murky past and a recent past at that.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not saying that players and other teams are perfect, but you already have a guy who has a known issue. So to your point, exactly. I mean, if he does something, it's going to fall back on Bowman, whether or not he knows about it, whether or not he actively does anything about it, but it's going to fall on his hands for sure. Yeah. Yep. And again, a distraction.
Yeah. And as we all know, distractions can derail a team like that with a snap mm-hmm. of a finger. All right. Well, let's close up here with a little bit of some predictions. All right. I know we haven't covered every single team, and, you know, there's probably plenty of stories that we could talk about with, you know, the other franchises, but let's stop here and let's talk a little bit about who might be some contenders in your mind to go for the Stanley Cup. We don't have to pick a Stanley Cup winner, but let's maybe some teams that might be in the running according to your opinion, Luke. What do you say?
Depending on who makes it out alive of the, you know, from the preseason.
Yeah.
I'm thinking of Doughty. I mean, it's just fucking ridiculous. But I'm thinking the Rangers. Rangers are probably going to be the biggest opponent that the Panthers are going to have this year.
Mm-hmm.
Going forward, I think, you know, Carolina is always a little iffy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they come out real strong in the season. They're okay in the playoffs, but for some reason they just can't make it that extra mile. Whereas the Rangers last year kind of showed that, you know, we're missing a couple of pieces, but we can go for it. And even honestly, I think that they're better set up to go farther than the Oilers are, especially defensively. So I'm thinking they're going to be a big shot in the East and the West. So it's hard in the West. Yeah, I mean, the Oilers, Avs, probably. I'm curious to see what the Canucks are going to do because yeah. They had a big bounce back last year.
Yes, they did. So and I agree with you on that. I think that they had everything going their way. They had everybody playing really, really well. They had even when Demko went down, they had
That's going to be the big part because he's still down. I think they finally figured out what the problem was, and I think he needs to get surgery. It has something to do with the abdominal area or something like that. And so worse than what they thought. So he's still down. So again, I mean, the kid's going to have to show up and work his ass off like he did last year,
mm-hmm.
which, you know, going forward is if you can do it, it's great for your reputation.
Yeah.
And you know, you'll get the guys behind you. But that's one team I'm curious because they seem to be built for speed. You know, they're not overly huge players, even defensively. You know, Hughes is not a big player, but I mean, they're a fast team. They're a quick team. So, I'm curious to see how they do. And if they make the playoffs, how they do in the playoffs, because they're not what we typically see as a playoff team. So,
well, I think I'm going in the East. I think the Rangers are a contender and I'm sticking to it. I think if the Capitals can put it all together and everybody gets along, PLD and whatnot, I think they really do have. And as I said before, I don't like saying that, but I think the Rangers and the Caps probably. I think the Oilers, if they can just keep focused on what they have to do, I think they got the piece. Stuart Skinner started playing really well in the playoffs. He got hot right when he needed to,
and he'd been playing with the Buffalo Sabres for how many years now?
Yeah.
Right. So if you get him a decent team on a decent line, I figure he'll score a couple of goals.
Yeah, absolutely. And the other Skinner I was talking about, Stuart Skinner yeah. played really well goaltending wise through the playoffs last year. He came and found his game. I think the Oilers can do it, but again, it's that going to be that dark cloud that hangs over Edmonton, and you know who knows.
Yeah, if they're able to get off to a strong season, which hasn't been their thing last few years, they go out and start off strong, maybe you'll be able to like push all of that nonsense aside. But yeah. I mean, I don't know. I mean, if I'm going to go get a player that just got his contract canceled, I'm probably going to have to take it up with ownership, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
And if you're hiring a new GM, that is definitely going through ownership.
So, You know, so what's going on in the ownership, man?
Well, is it one of those teams where, yeah, I own an NHL team, but I leave it up to the hockey guys and I don't pay attention, you know, or are you at least half implicated, you know, mm-hmm. knowing what's going on? Right? You want to get this guy. Well, okay. I think I've heard his name on the news. Why have I heard his name on the news? Well, hang on a second. If we're rebuilding and we want to rebuild his reputation, and if we, that's one thing, but I mean, we're contenders here. Mm-hmm. So we can talk all we want, but eventually, I mean, what is ownership doing over there? Seriously.
All right. Well, Luke, do you have anything you want to talk about real quick? Anything to plug or along those lines? I know you're a busy man. You got a lot going on.
Same as last few years. Go out if you have a bit of a chance. Go out to the local hockey rink. Go see some minor hockey. You know, encourage the kids. You know, they love it. I was talking with a colleague of mine, and she said, you know, remember a few years ago, one of my boys, her team was having a really rough year, and it was the last game. And they couldn't wait for it to get over, you know, one of those mm-hmm. seasons. And she said, like, last minute, the early, like that morning on Facebook, she wrote, you know, if you can come down 6 o'clock, the boys will be on the ice. They really need support. And she said, I was so surprised. I showed up there and the rink was full, completely full. Everybody cheering on the boys. They had one of their best games of the year. And, you know, so every little bit helps, and it's fun to see them play. And it won't cost you a dime. So, yeah, go out and encourage your minor hockey league.
Okay. All right. Well, Luke, we're going to do this again in April, depending on when the season starts wrapping up, and we'll see a little bit about some playoffs, and we'll actually see if we were right on some of the topics that we discussed here. And so with that, man, thanks for sitting down and chatting with me. It's always fun to talk hockey with you, man.
Yeah, it's a pleasure, man. It's fun. It's nice to I have to pay attention now. My boys are pretty on me with everything. They're like, yeah, you know this, or you know that. At a certain point, I'm like, dude, you guys follow the news every day on hockey, so you know which team is playing when. I don't anymore. But, you know, at least I follow what's going on a little bit just to try to keep it straight. But, yeah, it's fun. It's nice. Yeah, I miss doing my podcast. We haven't done it in a couple of years, but so yeah, it's fun.
All right. With that then, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to throw it to a quick break, and on the other side of the break, I'll be back to wrap up the episode. Well, there you have it, ladies and gentlemen, my conversation with Luke Landry, talking about the upcoming NHL season that starts next week. And again, I'm really excited for this season. I can't wait to see what happens. And I'd like to thank Luke for taking some time out of his busy schedule to sit down and chat with me about the sport that we both love. All right, with that, ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you where you can get in touch with me if you have a comment about anything that Luke or I said on this episode. That's right. If you're a Maple Leafs fan and you want to talk some trash, feel free to hit me up at a variety of different avenues for doing so. First, you can shoot me an email if you like. JohnOrlando@pvdcast.com is the email address. You can also leave me a message over on the Facebook, Instagram, and Threads accounts. Just search for @PVDcast. And you can even find me over on Twitter. My personal Twitter handle is @PVDMVP. So maybe you want to let somebody know about this podcast, because you know what? Word of mouth advertising is the best advertising. Well, you can tell folks that they can hear it over at pvdcast.com, the online home of yours truly. But it's also available through all of those major podcasting outlets. All you have to do is open up your favorite podcasting app, go to the search bar, put in PVDcast. Sometimes you have to put my name after it, and you should find it. And if you're listening through one of those apps or outlets, please rate and review. Rating and reviewing helps me out in the algorithm. And of course, it also lets those companies know, those outlets, those apps know that you're listening. So I'd really appreciate it if you did. And oh, by the way, don't forget to, of course, subscribe so you never miss another episode of the PVD cast. But there's one final way that you can catch every single episode, and that is through the Facebook page. Just head on over there on a Wednesday night, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and I do a little live broadcast for you. So there you go. Three easy ways to get the PVDcast, either at pvdcast.com, through your favorite podcasting app, or through the Facebook page. Once again, that's at PVDcast. All right, with that being said, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to get on out of here. I want to thank you very much for checking out this episode, and I will chat at each and every one of you later. Stay righteous, stay independent, and stay safe and healthy. Following has been a presentation of John Orlando Enterprises, LLC, copyright 2024.